And welcome to another edition of the Perfectly Lethal Podcast. I'm very excited tonight. I have one of my heroes, one of the reasons I got into this business in the first place, a DJ from Middletown, Ohio, Captain High. Thank you for being on the show, Captain High.
Hello?
You there?
Who is this?
This is the Perfectly Lethal Podcast. Yeah, pretty good. I'm glad we were able to get a hold of you. It was kind of a drag tracking you down, but we found you, so I'm happy about that.
Well, that's kind of creepy, but yeah.
So you are the Captain High from WHHI Radio, Middletown, Ohio. You were in the mid-70s. You were a very famous DJ. Do I have the right guy?
Yeah, this is it, man. How you doing? You got me. You found me.
I'm the
Captain High, man.
I'm glad to have found you because I've been searching low and high for you, and I keep getting like, hey, check with Johnny, check with Chucky, and I finally found you. I think I tracked it down through your sister. I'm just glad to get you on the show, though.
Well, man, you should be commended at that, because that's a pretty hard feat to accomplish there, getting a hold of me.
To track you down?
Yep.
So you are the Captain High from WHHI Radio. Do you mind if I throw you a couple questions?
Sure, that's fine. You know, I'm just cruising and waiting for the student's house. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, cool. So I was a huge fan of you as a kid. I just kind of wondered what got you into DJing in the first place when you were a young guy?
Was David Crosby.
Oh, from the
Birds. He's kind of the guy that got me started, you know. I was just inspired by the guy, you know, and so that's how I got started.
So he got you started in DJing. Was there like a specific incident? Like, did you meet him or did you see him live or?
He was on a Greyhound bus. Yeah, in Philadelphia. He was actually taking up two seats, you know. One he was sitting in, the other his guitar was sitting there, you know. That ass. Just being Crosby, you know. I love Crosby.
He's your boy, huh?
Yeah, I love Crosby. But what I distinctly remember about that, because it was a very profound thing, is that from Philly to Pittsburgh, you know, I was thinking about the Monterey Pop Festival. You know, the one that the Birds, you know, played in.
Oh, sure, yeah. Very famous festival.
Yeah, he was in the Birds, and, you know, I started to think about that bullshit stage-on-stage session he tried to woo the crowd with. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody looked up there in that Russian fur hat in the middle of summer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Love Crosby, though. He's great. But anyway, once the bus stopped in Pittsburgh, you know, Crosby was outside, you know, bouncing around, showing off, singing and playing guitar to, you know, the people on the bus who were getting off to have a restroom break or whatever. So I walk up to him, spit right in his face, for always being such a little bitch.
Wow.
But, you know, I felt sorry for him after I did that, and I asked him if I could be his roadie. But, you know, one of his group roadies came over and promptly punched me in the face, so...
Oh, wow.
I guess that was a no.
So you spit in Crosby's face and then asked him to be his roadie.
Is that wrong? I don't know.
I don't know if it's wrong. It's probably not the best way to get the job, though.
But they always say, you know, don't meet your heroes because you never like them. So I just, when I took the opportunity to spit in his face for the, you know, insult he was going to give me later on or something, you know, just kind of paying him forward.
So are you a huge Birds fan? I mean, is that where the worship started, or?
Listen, I have nothing but the utmost respect for the man. I love Cosby, I really do. But, really hit me personally. Like, for instance, if only I can remember my name out, that was the one that kind of did it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a big fan of that album. A lot of people refer to that as, if only I could remember this album. But that's surprising. That's surprising that you were a big fan. That's kind of cool. So
yeah, I love the guy.
Yeah, yeah. That's a pretty cool story. You saw him on a Greyhound. So you were a DJ in Middletown, Ohio. How did you come up with the Captain High name? How did that come about?
Because I smoke pot.
Straight
up. Not anymore. I don't know. But yeah, I used to.
Back in the 70s, pretty prevalent back then.
I haven't smoked pot in about 4 months. So it's been quite a while.
But that was where you got the... Well, I mean, I guess it is pretty obvious. Captain High.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was good. You know, I was smoking pot and I thought that sounded like a good name, you know?
So ahead.
So, but, I don't smoke pot anymore, though, you know? It's lost its luster. But
it had nothing to do with, being a captain of a boat or anything, right?
What's that?
It had nothing to do with, being a captain of a boat or a ship?
No,
it was all the pot?
Pretty much. You know, Jerry Garcia's nickname was Captain Trips, so I just kind of stole that, you know?
Okay. But you're completely, and now that we're like 3 decades away, you're completely away from the drug scene?
Completely away from it, man. Clean as a whistle. But I still get my monthly piss tests, you know. But that's one of the reasons I don't, but still, you know, I don't. That's all that counts.
To better be safe than sorry.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but you used to be an overnight DJ, and this kind of flows into that discussion. You have a reputation being Captain High of a rock and roll lifestyle. Was there any crazy rock and roll, you know, lifestyle stories when you were on the air back on WHHI?
We had some bands actually, you know, come down to the studio and, you know, party on air with us and stuff. That was pretty cool, you know. Rod Stewart and his band, they came and...
Oh, sure.
...partied. Yeah, and... Let's see, Led Zeppelin.
Wow.
So, yeah, we used to get high on the roof. We just go up there and roll joints, and... It was pretty cool.
I heard that Robert Plant used to bogart all the joints. Is that true?
I can't remember.
It was a long time ago, huh?
Yeah, definitely. But, I don't know.
So, we're talking about smoking joints on the roof. I guess the 70s FM radio scene and pretty much the rock scene had a very notorious image of notorious drug use, excessive drug use. I guess this probably did play a big part in your lifestyle at the time.
Yeah. You know, I think one particular memory that sticks out quite a bit it was early 70s. I want to say 72, right after Exile Main Street. And it was, I think Brian Jones had already passed away. I met Charlie Watts at a Waffle House.
Oh, yeah. The Stones drummer.
Yeah, it was pretty strange. You know, being a DJ, you know, it's always placed me in circumstances, you know, where I was in the right place, usually at the wrong time. But, and that happens to be one of the instances, you know, I had come back from a bachelor party, and we had a group of people with us, and it was real late at night, and, you know, we were all shit-your-pants drunk. But, you know, we get in there, and I see Charlie, so I'm, like, already shouting across the Waffle House at him, you know, in my, like, worst Mick Jagger voice. I'm like, "Hey, Charlie, I like your trousers, Charlie." And he just kind of looked at me like I was some, like, gay fan wanting to get into his pants or something. pretty funny, but...
Which you obviously weren't.
No, I was just trying to, you know, mess around with him. I thought it might make him laugh. But, I don't know, he just kind of looked at me. So I, you know, went, like, up to him, actually, and he was sitting with two other guys. You know, they have long, stringy hair. And I was like, hey, Chavvy! Keith told me to tell you to tell Brian to get out of the pool, baby. And if I remember correctly, he would just look at me and was just like, you know, what the hell are you doing, man? It was great, you know?
So
and
do you...
When I asked him if he had a fag I could suck on, I'm sure he would definitely convince I was a gay fan then, you know?
Wow, yeah.
But at that point, I was so drunk, I don't even remember what I was saying. So,
do you remember? I remember
repeating, it's a cigarette to him, because, you know, I wanted to know that I wasn't talking about a gay person.
Yeah.
I was referring to a cigarette.
Did he get it?
Yeah. He was, like, kind of sarcastic. He was like, yeah, it's witchy. He's like, my grandfather used to tell me that joke. So I guess it was kind of a common joke in Britain. I don't know.
He didn't sound like he was impressed.
Yeah. So. But I thought he knew me because I was kind of popular at that time, you know? And I'll be just going to see if he wanted to, like, sign a copy of, like, a vinyl or something. Or, you know, sticky fingers would have. And I was like, hey, Radio Captain I.
Yeah.
He was just like, I thought you might have been Radio's Major Hotz. Like, whoa.
Wow. Slap down.
Man, I was like, man, Charlie. I thought you were cool, Charlie.
I'm kind of surprised, but that is reportedly in his drinking stage. So I guess that, yeah, I can kind of see that. Kind of see that coming from good old Charlie Watts.
Yeah. I don't know, he just looks kind of meek, but underneath that exterior, man, he's a freaking beast.
He can knock you down.
He's a real leader.
So,
he was a puppet master.
So what went wrong at WHHI? Why, in the mid-80s, I was listening in and you were no longer there. What happened there?
Well, it was a good gig, you know. I couldn't play it. I couldn't do it, man. So they fired me. So it was Phil Collins fired me from DJing.
Phil Collins fired you?
Phil Collins fired me.
From Genesis?
Yes, from Genesis.
How did that get down?
He didn't really directly fire me. But he might as well have been, you know, because the corporate, you know, dickwads, they wanted me to play Phil Collins at the top of every hour.
Oh.
I was just like, hell no. I'm not doing that. Screw that. You know, they wanted me to... So, you know, I started doing it. I played it, you know, throwing it all away every hour. You know, and Sioux Studio. But then when they wanted me to play Invisible Touch, man, that was pretty much it right there. I was pretty much like, I can't do that. And, you know, when the execs, you know, finally got word that, you know, the radio listeners hadn't received their hourly dose of Phil Collins, the witch doctor, the executives freaked. So they pretty much fired me on the spot. And, pretty much sent me to the unemployment line, you know? So I went to Los Angeles and, pretty much lived under a bridge for a while.
Under a bridge in Los Angeles? Phil Collins did this to you.
Phil Collins. You know, so I'm not saying that I went there to, you know, shake his hand for fire me, you know, but I just happened to be in the neighborhood, but I never did find him, but I wasn't looking for him, but I mean, I just never found him.
So you went to L.A. in the late 80s looking for Phil Collins and you never found him? Yeah, or South America doing stadium tours.
Yeah.
Well, Yeah, I'll back you up on that, though. I would have drawn the line on playing Invisible Touch every hour. I mean, maybe a couple times an hour, or a couple times a day, but not every hour on the hour.
No, that's just sick. Someone got a mentally ill problem if they want that every hour, or even once a day.
Yeah, I think that says a lot about our 80s listening public. So,
where am I here? Here it is.
All right.
Oh, go ahead.
All right. Is this okay to do an interview right now?
Yeah. It's good.
Okay. I didn't want to interrupt anything. So, you were in... Oh, this is kind of interesting. I didn't know this about you. You were in California during the 80s. Anything else going on there? I mean, did you get on another radio station, or what was going on there?
I lived under a bridge because I was pretty much just shooting up. You know, I was on the air, went pretty bad. You know?
Yeah.
I actually hung out with Anthony Kiedis once.
Wow.
He had some crazy stuff, too.
Under the bridge.
Yeah, under the bridge.
Wow.
So, I don't know. But then, let's see.
Yeah, Anthony Kiedis would be rock bottom. I agree.
Yeah. I guess if he's showing up in your setting, it's you know you're on the bottom.
So was he wearing any clothes, or did he have socks on his dick?
He was wearing clothes, I believe.
That's good.
I mean, I don't think he'd ever remember this because he was way out of it too. I heard this sound coming from the back of a restaurant, like where the dishwashers hang out. Somebody was playing some music, and they came out for a smoke. And I asked them what they were listening to. They said Tom Waits. So I don't know. It just intrigued me so much. I found out where he lived in Sonoma Valley. It's like the San Francisco countryside, and. I found his property and broke into his shed.
Wow.
So, I kind of stayed there for a while, too. He didn't even know I was there for, like, a couple months.
Did you ever find out you were there? Did you ever discover
Well, I mean, I come out when he wasn't there. He wasn't there a lot. I mean, because you're out and about studio and whatever. But, I started doing stuff, like repairing stuff. Like, I fixed his gate. And, I painted, I blacktopped his, driveway. And, like, once, he did discover me, he remarked about that. You know, he said he thought his wife was having all these repairs done. He didn't realize it was me doing it.
It was, yeah, you all along.
So, let's see. How do I get one of these lights on here? There we go. But yeah, so.
So let me get this straight. You were living in Tom Waits' shed, repairing his house and his gate, and he didn't even know you were living there.
No, let's see. I'm just gonna turn, and I'm pretty close. All right, sorry, man. Sorry, I'm just trying to find this guy's house.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's no problem. Is everything okay?
What's that?
Is everything okay? I mean, do we need to let you go?
No. I found it. So, okay. We're good. But yeah, I was living at Tom Waits' shed, man. It was pretty cool. I mean, I still didn't have much to eat. You know, I was rail thin from being malnourished. And he did not actually find me one day, you know. I think he just felt sorry for me or something because he invited me in.
Oh, wow. He didn't call the cops?
For like a year.
Wow.
His family were like super hospitable towards me. I mean, they fed me. They bought me clothes. I even got to sit down on a few sessions of his on the album that he was working on at the time.
Which album would that have been?
It was called Bone Machine.
So you sat in on Bone Machine.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually what a drummer called me before they had the title. Because not because I was so skinny, it was just because, you know, whenever they had, you know, people over, and always, you know, getting the chicks.
Wow.
They called me Bone Machine.
You were the Bone Machine. Wow, that is incredible.
Yeah.
Captain Hyde from WHHI Radio, Middletown, Ohio, is the Bone Machine. I never would have met. Did you meet Keith Richards at the time?
No, I've only sat in on three songs. So, wow. I hit a metal pipe with a hammer on one. I played tambourine. And I also hit two femur bones of a mule. But I was never credited for that on the album.
That is incredible. They didn't give you credit.
Oh, crap. But, you know, I still like Tom Waits a lot, man. I mean, I'll never forget, you know, what they did for me. And
his hospitality, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what I owe to them, is not to get credit, you know. Two femur bones of a mule.
Wow. I was wondering how he got the percussion sound on that. Now you have some insight on that. That's really, really cool for the Perfect Lethal podcast. So, you're back in Middletown. Are you back in Middletown?
Yeah, I am. I work at, you know, Best Buy. You know, it's kind of funny how it's, you know, Tom and his family, you know, they nursed me back to a healthy weight. You know, I was looking good. And then, you know, one day there was a knock at the door, and it was, you know, Sonoma Valley PD. So they had a warrant for a crime I committed in Ohio, you know, which was bullshit, by the way. But somehow caught up with me in California. So that's pretty much why I sell washers and dryers at the Best Buy in Middletown, Ohio. I had to be in court, and I was sentenced to 5 years in prison, or serve 15 years of community service at Best Buy without pay. So
you put the blue shirt on, huh?
No, I'm serving community service at Best Buy without pay.
That sucks. So if I need a washer or dryer, just go to Middletown, and Captain High will sell me a washer or dryer?
Yeah, I'll tell you, washer and dryer, we got the best, man. You know, they had this, like, little motto that they go by. They wanted me to say it, you know, but I didn't go with that. I went with my own thing, and that's usually if your clothes smell like they've been partying with Ron Wood and Keith Richards, then Maytag 5000 will get you back to Charlie Watts style.
Charlie Watts, he introduces himself again.
Yes, Charlie's back, baby.
So,
most of the people who I say that to don't even know what I'm talking about.
They're probably like, who is Charlie Watts and what does that do to my electric bill?
Right.
So is there any current plan? I know you said that you have a... kind of doing community service, but is there any current plans to get back to work in the radio industry?
Well, I'm still DJing, though. And I got my own studio in my basement that I broadcast from. It's pretty sweet.
Really?
Yeah.
Where can we tune into that?
Well, I haven't got it really running yet. But, you know, I gotta wait for my mom to get the internet. So, she's 90 years old, man. I mean, she doesn't really know. I'm living in the basement rent-free, man, so I can't ask for any more of that.
She was kind of waiting until Time Warner gets out there.
Dude, seriously, every time I stop at a light, a cop drives by. Every time. What is going on?
Oh, so you're in your car right now?
Yeah, I'm driving around.
Oh.
It's like that boy, and It's a Wonderful Life, man. Hey, Grandpa, every time you stop on that, a cop drives by. That's right.
Is that like Lionel Barrymore?
That's, who is that?
So what are you doing out on the road? I thought we were interviewing you from your mom's basement.
No, I've been driving around, man. I'm driving around.
It's hanging out.
Yeah.
Cruising.
I don't know.
Cruising the streets of Middletown.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have had kind of a substantial bit of traffic here lately, though, at my house. I mean, I've got a lot of friends.
In Middletown? You having a party in your basement?
Yeah, man. They come over for a little bit. I can't help when they decide to stop over for a visit. You know, they just pop in sporadically, you know.
What is your...
Like with anyone's, you know, anyone has company over, you know. My friends usually don't stay a whole lot, you know. They don't stay a long time to visit. You know, they're busy. They stay about, you know, 10 minutes, you know, catch up, see how each other's been. Sometimes it's me who goes and visits a friend, like now. I'm going to go visit a friend. And I don't want to burden my friend by overstaying my welcome. So I stay about 10 minutes, then I leave.
So what does your 90-year-old mother think about all these people coming and going?
She's oblivious to it. You know, she pretty much just stays in bed, her bedroom, really. What's light off and the TV on.
Wow, that's, I think I know what's going on there, but... I mean,
you know what I believe?
What do you believe, Captain High?
I think everyone at some point in the year should have a Tom Waits night.
Yeah, hey, I'm all about that.
And that involves a cooler of cold Budweiser's, cans, and endless Tom Waits CD rotation.
I'm all about having that on the Perfectly Youthful Studios. Just come up here. You can DJ it. I mean, I grew up listening to you. You know, you're awesome. You can DJ it. I'll supply the bud. Invite some of your friends over. We'll have a good time.
Yeah, you just call my people, man. And just call me.
Call you straight.
Yeah, I got a business card, so we can maybe exchange, you know, info and whatnot.
Yeah.
Here.
I mean, it was kind of hard to get a hold of you in the first place, but if you got a business card, just send it to the studio. We'll get you on speed dial. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's fine.
What's going on?
What's that? Oh, I'm just visiting a friend, and I'm actually at his house now, and so we're, hey, what's up?
Is it Charlie Waits? Charlie Watts?
What's going on, man?
Hello?
Yeah, what's up? What was your question?
Wow.
So, what was your question there, man?
I was just wondering if you're at Charlie Watts' house. What are you doing? That makes sense. Bluetooth, I mean, they're just troublesome, you know?
Yeah, they're all right. What's going on, man? That's cool.
Who's that?
So, Middletown.
Middletown what?
I'm on the phone. I got the Bluetooth.
Oh, yeah.
Who is this?
What's
going on?
Anyway, just, all right.
Captain, are you okay?
I'm not too much. You need to be normal, man.
Yeah, you need to be normal. You think you're going to, hold on. You think you're going to
tell me that. Oh, yeah, now, man. Hey, dude, it's like, you owe me like $2,000 now, dog.
Come on, man.
No, man, that's bullshit, man.
Captain Pie?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on?
Who is?
This is the Perfectly Lethal Podcast, and we were talking to Captain High.
Listen, Captain High, I don't know, man. I know Wayne, man.
Wayne?
I don't know Captain High, man.
Who is this?
So, the question is, who did? Listen, somebody owe me some money. It's going to be your boy, Wayne. Or it's gonna be your ass, you know what I'm saying? And I'm gonna come down that way. So where you at? And why you be on the phone when you come over to my house, nigga?
My ass has no money, and I have no idea who I'm talking to. Who is this?
Man, this killer, though. Killer. Back up,
alright?
Wait, what's up? So who this is?
This is the Perfectly Lethal Podcast, and I'll have you know we're not affiliated with NPR.
I listen, but I don't know if you the dude that your boy Wayne here brought up with some mushrooms one time to try to make up for his debt and shit. And I swear that the damn thing didn't work.
So he's...
It was like a pizza or something. And I'm playing around a little pizza, I don't know what it is.
So he is still on drugs.
What you say, man?
He's still on drugs. He swore to us he was not on drugs anymore.
Oh, dude. He ain't on drugs, man. He on weed. Ain't nobody never OD'd on weed or nothing, man.
So, who is this I'm talking to here on?
I told you, man, it's killer, and I don't like too many questions. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, back up, dog.
Oh, well, I apologize, but we're on an interview podcast here.
I know you got
metal pay,
but...
Oh, now you're talking about my finances?
Yeah. I mean, this is an interview show.
Man, listen. I don't know who this is. I ain't talking to you, man. I got something with your boy Wayne right here. This my new phone. Bluetooth. Go track it in for some go-tos. You know what I'm saying?
He's not getting paid for this interview at all.
You ain't getting paid?
He's a community figure.
No, man. Step up right there. Step up.
Whoa. Put the gun away. There's no reason for that, man. Come on.
Hey, this is my new phone.
What have we dragged ourselves into here? Gun?
Hey. Man,